Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ryan from Armenta, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,
rock. Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Armenta. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. What's going on?
Yeah,
thank
man. You. This is exciting, man. We got a lot happening. This is kind of still a brand new project, so it's exciting to
definitely
get to, you know, so we got some new music coming out of St. Louis and stuff, man. This is always a fun for me, so. But yeah, let's go around. Let's go ahead and introduce yourself, guys.
My name is Ryan Daniel. I'm the lead singer.
I am Tyler Gritt, drums.
I am John Stassi, and I play the guitar.
And unfortunately, our buddy Marshall could not make it today. He plays bass.
Yeah.
Marshall Wallet is our bass player.
Yeah, Marshall Wallet.
He is my son.
Let the record show that John is Marshall's son.
Wrong, Marshall.
Oh, I'm sorry,
John's
Marshall's
son.
John's son. That's right. Duly noted.
Yeah, you guys just fresh off of a show last night over at the Way Out Club with my friends, the Karma Dealer.
Yeah, so these guys sound great. So if you're listening and you haven't checked out Karma Dealer, definitely check them out. They're an awesome band.
Sure.
They're on Facebook.
Yeah, how'd that go? You guys have a good time over there?
Yeah, man, yeah. That was an awesome. I'd never played the Way Out Club before, but really, really cool place. People were really good to us, and I was really impressed with the sound guy last night. He, Chuck over there at the Way Out Club, did a really, really good job dialing in our sound.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a good time. Had a good turnout, and it was a good show. Both Armenta and Karma Dealer played well.
Well, it was like you guys only played what, a handful of shows like now, right? Played Foam a while back and and stuff, and
Foam, the Palomino Lounge,
yeah,
Fubar last week, and then Way Out Club.
That was like a Battle of the Bands thing, right?
Yeah, that was the Battle of the Bands thing. But man, I tell you, that was a little.
It's a sore subject right now.
Well, it was a little shady, you know. The people, the promoter that was working that show and that booked it, collected the ticket money and left. Didn't stay, and the band that advanced wasn't even a band that was on the bill. So I thought that was a.
It's pretty shitty.
I don't really like that. And the ticket split was, the promoter kept 80% and we kept 20%. And I was just kind of thinking to myself, like, you know, I think about all the hours that my band puts in practicing and all the work we do. And we go out to this promoter's, you know, event that he asked us to come to, and he collects 80% of the money that we earned by selling the tickets, by moving the tickets, by making the Facebook event page, by writing the songs. We put all of our time into it, and I think about the time that he put in, and he didn't even put the time in to stay at the show.
Right.
So yeah, just a really, really bad experience.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's a lot of the business, it seems. There's a lot of people, you know, they give promoters a bad name like that, that are out there trying to scam people, you know, hardworking bands and trying to make a dollar off of somebody else. And yeah, so
yeah, it's bad, and it's really relevant here in St. Louis, and it's really not fair to the bands because, like I said, that, you know, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of work, and you know, we're fortunate now because we have an EP coming out, we have a video coming out, but you know, those things aren't free. Those are things that you have to do to kind of get your band off the ground, and those things cost a lot of money. And if you're, you know, if your band's not making any money, it's harder to fund those things. And when your band's not making any money because the promoter's just putting money in his pocket for not doing anything, that's wrong. That's not fair. And if you're a band out there, if there are a lot of great places here in St. Louis that take care of bands. The Schlafly Tap Room was really good to us. Foam, Palomino were good to us. Even the Way Out Club was really good to us last night. That don't, you know, that you're not putting money in somebody else's pocket for your work. I have a really big problem with that. And if you're a band out there, go look to play places like that that treat you well, because I think that's why St. Louis as a overall music scene is really struggling in compares to some of the surrounding major cities like Chicago, Memphis, Nashville, Kansas City. All those scenes are getting more national recognition right now than we are, and I think it's because the bands there are treated more fairly by venue owners and promoters and things like that. They're getting opportunities that were not here. And I think that's a big reason as to why. And I think it's something that needs to change if St. Louis is gonna get the recognition for the talent that we have here. And we do have a lot of talent. I would put the local musicians here up against anywhere in the world, really. A ton of talent. And it's not being seen because it's being undercarded by other people.
Yeah, man. Well, hopefully, I mean, I feel like, you got, like you said, though, we, you know, focus on the positive of it all, like, get, cut sure, that out.
Exactly.
Focus on the venues that have been good to you, and then, you know, not to go back to some of those other ones and things, so. But yeah, like I said, you guys do have an EP coming out. We do have some, a lot of really exciting news besides some of that stuff, though, some of the downer stuff. But we have an EP due out on February 2nd.
Yeah.
But you guys wanted to go ahead and give us all a little sneak peek of what you've been up to.
Absolutely.
And we're going to do like a full EP preview on this episode. So you can hear all four songs before you can buy them and anywhere else or anything. So I thought this would be fun to, you know, like I said, get some of the stories behind the songs and some of the, you know, recording and all this stuff. So let's start with track one. This will be the single you guys are getting ready to release a music video with, and track one is Diamond Eyes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Diamond Eyes.
Diamond Eyes, to put it simply, is about playing with fire and getting burned. But in the end, coming through stronger than before. And from the lyrics, I draw influences from a book and obviously a personal experience. So,
we'll be right back.
careful not to get burned. But I got lost in the thrill.
The guitars are just like really loud, and as a guitar player I like really loud guitars.
Same, yeah, drums the same way. Right. Louder is better to me. It's actually it's called I have a different version that I prefer. It's called Tough Eyes. It's about being the really tough, most badass person you could be. And it's about wildfire and Game of Thrones and everything else that is awesome in life. Yeah. So
those are kind of the things that I guess everybody in the band thinks about something different while we play it.
Yeah, but exactly.
It's important is the
sure
the attitude.
That's
the
what's cool
there.
About music.
The energy. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. This sounds great. We and like I said, we have a video filmed and be out shortly with they'll be pairing up with this and
January 19th we will be releasing our music video for this song. It is our first single, so the video is really cool. It was done by Matthias Wagner and
he is awesome,
incredible crew. There was a whole crew. Wilder Polite was there. He's a local photographer and videographer. If you're looking for pictures or videos, he's on Facebook. You can find him. And we had another guy with Julius and our friend Val. There was four of them, and then the band was there. And we snuck into an old warehouse, and I mean we shot it. We shot it like 12 different places.
Yeah.
We filmed for like 13. It was like 12 or 13 hours. We filmed, and they're going to cut it down to, it's a 4-minute song, but it was absolutely incredible. Just a really awesome experience. Their lighting was really, really good. So if you're looking for a video, follow Shot by Matthias on Instagram. Send him a message. He'd love to hook you up, and he will absolutely hook you up. He did a phenomenal, phenomenal job.
Yeah, man. Nice. I'm excited to check it out. He said you might have a little teaser sneak peek here coming soon.
Yeah, and the next couple of days
we'll be
putting that out.
Get everybody hyped up for this one. So.
Absolutely.
You guys recorded all this EP over at Gaslight, right?
Yes, we did that at Gaslight with Mark. Mark did an excellent job. I'm really happy with how the EP turned out. really, really an awesome experience. So if you're looking to record, I would recommend Gaslight to you. They're not only do they do a great job, but they're incredibly affordable as well. They're very fair to the to their musicians, and they treat them really well there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a cool spot, man. I dig what they're doing over there. I think they got a good thing happening. It's a great to have that in our community, having a little more affordable recording experience, but also it's just a cool hang, like as the bar side, and you can sit there through the glass and watch the band record and stuff. It's a really cool experience. So, it's fun, man. I'm glad that it worked out for you guys over there. And shout out to Mark, man. He did a good job helping you guys record this thing. It sounds great. And so Diamond Eyes is like it's pretty heavy rock and roll.
Yeah.
I feel like Espolone.
Mm-hmm. It kind of
carries on there, but you also have some variety throughout the record though. Mm-hmm. I feel like Espolone kind of almost like a surf guitar
surf rock sound with a little Latin touch, I guess you could say. I mean, it is about tequila, so it's kind of got like the down south vibe.
South of the border vibe, for right. sure. Yeah, we've got all these songs are kind of, they're always changing, and we always think of something down the road, like this would be cool to do here, and then we have, you know, new songs that we've written that we're always working on, and it's always kind of evolving and shaping, and, so it's going to be really exciting to see what these look like, going down the road. Mm-hmm. And we've got different parts and different things. Espolone in particular, we've got a couple things lined up for eventually when our full-length album comes out that might be on there that I think will be really, really kind of cool and creative, and hopefully people that really appreciate music can get into. And I'm really excited for that, but...
Damn, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, anything around Espolone you guys want to share?
So, I mean...
Yeah, it's a party. Yeah.
Party song. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the words of that song pretty much explain it, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Welcome to the party. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah, man.
Here's to Espolón.
And if you haven't had Espolón tequila, you...
Get the Blanco.
Get the Blanco. Do yourself a favor and have some Espolón tequila. We are all very fond of Espolón tequila. In fact, it made such a strong impression on us that we had to write a song about it. So if that tells you anything, that should say it all.
Right. Yeah, man. I always went down to Nashville, Tennessee, to see a rock and roll show down there, and I happened to stop in this gas station, and there was this Get Hyped energy drink.
Yeah, and, like the discrepancy song. Yeah,
right. So I immediately laughed and I had to take a picture of it, and I sent it to Discrepancies, and I was like, man, you guys, you need to hit these guys. You know, you should send them your song, and maybe they'll maybe we'll make a commercial for it or whatever, you know, something like that. And like, I think it'd be cool, man. Just you know, it just happened to work out. Like, yours obviously is influenced by that, but they happen to share the same name. But it's just like, I thought that you know, I was like, man, it'd be a good partnership, though.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's what I've been thinking for a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
Upon release, I planned full intentionally. I'm a little worried about it. Sending like Espolón, like they have an email address on their website. I don't know if they actually read it or not. But
hey, what if we get Antonio Banderas to be in the commercial? That'd be freaking awesome.
The guy from Spy Kids.
Freaking awesome. Yeah.
That Dos Equis,
the Dos Equis guy. Get the Dos Equis guy in the commercial with that. Oh man, that would be super cool. Then,
wasn't it?
Heineken.
No, I think it was a Dos Equis thing, maybe.
It was Antonio? The guy that the new Dos Equis guy that looks like Antonio Banderas, and he says he's like, you know how many times people ask me if I'm Antonio?
No, Banderas. You're thinking of the Heineken.
It's Heineken. The people, they walk in and they're like, look, let's take a picture. Yeah. And he's like, Heineken's world famous, just like me. And then they go to take a picture. And they're it's Antonio Banderas. And the caption's like, it's not Antonio Banderas.
It's Benicio del Toro.
That's his name.
That's what came to mind thinking of that. But yeah, that's a funny commercial.
Yeah, that is. It's world famous like me.
Right. Yeah, man. Well, like I said, that would be another kind of, you know, if you guys are wanting to make another video, I think that would be another fun one too. Especially just that party, the surf kind of thing too.
Well, it's just fun to like. It's just fun to like on a nice day. Like right now, it sucks because it's winter. But like in the summertime, just roll your windows down and just cruise and
man.
Or like if it's be a on a boat. It's a good boating song
for sure. It's a summertime jam for sure.
Yeah.
I was kind of talking about some of that different variety on this EP and all. Companion Stars seems to be the slow jam. It's kind of the ballad, I guess, of the album. A little more softer side of what you guys do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me think. What 4 years ago? This is a song. This is all about. So let me tell you about it. 4 years ago, I was in an astronomy class, and we were learning about stars in a binary system, and when two stars are close enough together, they can actually exchange mass between each other and alter each other's lifespans. I was really touched by it, and my teacher called these stars are known as companion stars, and I immediately when I first heard about it, I was touched by it, and I thought of somebody that's very special to me, and that's what the symbol represents. So I wrote this song based on what I learned that day in class and also about that someone special to me.
Yeah.
That's a song I really struggled with. Just because...
Because he played the drums.
Because I played the drums on that one. And I'd never recorded drums before. So it was a really different experience for me. But I'm really happy I did it. We had the recording date, so you know you book those things in advance, and a couple days before the recording session, our drummer at the time
decided that he could not be in Armenta any longer and that he needed to move forward. And it was just kind of like, well, we have this recording session booked and we have this song that we need to record. Now we need somebody to play drums. And I was just like, give me the sticks. I'll figure it out. Let's go. And I had the metronome in my ear and I'm like, oh boy. You know, I was like, this is going to be interesting. But yeah, it turned out really, really good. I was very impressed that everything that we recorded we recorded it live. We did it, you know, instrument by instrument. But for Companion Star, we did it differently. It was the guitar track, the vocal track, and the drum track were all recorded live. There were only two of us. It was only me and Ryan.
Yeah, we did the drums and guitar at the same time.
And so that was different. You know, you got the click in your ear, and so if one of you gets off, then the whole thing is just scrapped. So
it was nice recording it with Mark because the song was not completely finished. You know, we had an idea, but Mark also had his input on it, and we absolutely love it. He gave it a very spacey, ethereal sort of feel to it, and it just drives it home. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was like this kind of spacey kind of sound to it and stuff. Yeah, which it works for companion
Star. Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Very. It's kind of got like a like an ambient feel to it to me.
Yeah, very 50s, 60s inspired. You know, I wanted to make something like Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys or something, something sweet, something that will. Hopefully touch people and you know, something they can relate to.
And I think it's a nice touch too, because I think you know, I also did the guitar solo on that one, and the other songs the guitar solos are very, very loud and very in your face and aggressive, and this guitar solo, I probably, if I did one take, I did 1,000 takes. Just like it was a long process, but it was because, you know, it was a completely different style. It's slow and it's soft and it's gentle and it's nice. It kind of like eases you there. And what was really cool was what Mark did is Mark took I don't even know how many takes he took, but he layered my different takes on top of each other and mixed all of my takes together, and it's really cool then, because if you're listening to it in your car or with headphones on, you got in one ear you're getting, you know, one take, and another ear you're getting another take, and you can really like focus on one or the other, and then you listen to it all together, and it is really it really made me think as a guitar player. That just made me think really hard.
It's outside the box. That's what I like about it. It's not just a, you know, straight up solo. It's a little bit more than that.
Right.
And then your singing style is kind of reminds me of like the old time crooners, you know? I feel like you're crooning, which is very different from the rest of the record. You've got that, you know, the really powerful rock and roll voice, but on this song, we show that, you know, we can do more than just play straight up rock and roll, and not that there's anything wrong with playing straight up rock and roll, because we love that
for sure.
But it's nice to say, hey, you know. As musicians, that's not all we are. Mm-hmm. We can do more than just that.
Definitely.
And that's kind of what this song says to me.
Yeah. I think it's funny, though, like when you got bands like Extreme and stuff, you know, like they stripped down and they did like us, like kind of in the More Than Words, and like, and that became like their, you know, a massive, huge hit and stuff. But they were like, they always like regretted, or you know, were spiteful of it, because they wanted to be this big rockin' band, mm-hmm. but like they were known as like this soft,
oh yeah,
it's the ballad,
song. Yeah,
it's like, the love song,
forever typecast,
right?
Yeah.
So, another example is Sugar Ray.
Yeah,
Sugar Ray before Fly came out was like real heavy, and then Fly hit, and they were like, well, let's just keep doing that. Like,
we're paying the bills for this stuff. I think the reggae touch isn't a bad idea.
I didn't know that.
So they definitely, I mean, and they'll admit to it, they sold out. I mean, they named their next record, I thought that was a nice little fun inside thing. It was they named the record 1459 because their 15 minutes of fame was almost up. So.
Oh, that's hysterical. Man.
Yeah, so stuff like that, like, you know, but like these, you know. So have you guys experienced any of that? I mean, like, has you played these songs live a couple times now and stuff for everybody? Are they responding more to the?
We haven't played Companion Star live yet,
but we did play. We do have more songs similar to Companion Star, more of that type of style, like a number of them, and we played one of them last night at the Way Out Club for the first time. Yeah,
Memories is the name of the song.
And yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, that one's instrumental. I wrote that one about my dog. His name was Cabo. And it was right after I put him down, and Ryan had just happened to put down one of his dogs too, and we basically sat there and wrote this song about about our dogs. And you know what? You guys can laugh at me, but they were really good boys.
I'm covering Ted's ears. He doesn't need to hear this. Yeah.
We got another dog here. Ted.
Yeah.
He's a good boy too.
He's a good boy.
Say hi, Ted.
Who dat? Who dat? Who dat? Who dat? Who dat?
Okay.
All right. Your bark was louder than that, Ted, but all right, you're
shy.
Right.
Yeah. No, it was really cool. And I was actually telling John on the way here, Memories is a cool song because we get to be a little bit musical. There's different... it's all instrumental, number one, so we kind of have to be musical. But there's just kind of hills and valleys of different dynamic points. And, it's really cool, and I think one night we just jammed it, and we were kind of like, hey, that was kind of cool. And then it just kind of changes and evolves over time. I think last night was actually probably the first time that I think that was probably the best that it's ever came together.
Yeah,
but it's cool because we change instruments too. Ryan plays the bass, and Marshall's gonna work up a guitar part for it. So it's kind of cool.
Right on.
And then another song we have, it's called Danger Hole. It's just really fast and technical, and you know that's fun too. You know,
Mad Max.
Yeah, it's
kind of got that feel to it. That's what I picture in my head.
It's insane. It's at 190 beats per minute, and it's just really fast and technical. And there's a degree of musicality to that too. That it's really fun to play. But
unfortunately, those aren't on the EP though.
Yeah, we're still working on those.
But you know, it'll be interesting moving forward for us with our writing. Is we have, in my mind, two different projects going on within our Menta. We have the heavy, the loud, the rock and roll, and I think that's where the idea started. I think that's what our Menta was supposed to be when it started, but
we still are. What you talking about?
Yeah, we still are for sure, but it'll be interesting to see moving forward if we end up writing more of this different style that we kind of have going on, or if we'll record like a really heavy like rock album, and then we could also do like a calmer album. You know, it'll be interesting to see what we do with that moving forward, because it's really hard to integrate all these songs into one live set or into one album, because they're like, when I say their world's different, like
the emotion,
you'll hear
different.
It when you listen to the EP. Companion Star is absolutely worlds different than
it's an outlier
than the other three. You'll hear it just in that, and that's just a small example. So
our next album's going to be a prog metal fusion reggae jazz band.
great example of the diff. That is the last track, right after Companion Star. You guys kick it back into gear with the chase.
Like Vin Diesel in the Fast and the Furious. Stick shifting.
That song makes me think of Fast Cars.
Not double clutch and granny shifting. Like whatever he says. So.
Dude, I almost had you.
Yeah.
Tough.
So rest in peace, Paul Walker.
Let's talk about this track, The Chase.
So it's kind of punk rock a little bit.
A little bit. In my mind.
But lyrically, it's pretty simple. It's all about chasing the dream.
Yeah, man.
Being in a rock band, or any dream, really. I think. Lyrics could relate to any dream, you know.
Absolutely.
I think when you have a goal in your mind or a dream that you're trying to accomplish, there are things you say to yourself and things that you have to say to yourself, and there's a certain attitude that comes with that. And I know that not everybody in the world thinks like that, but I think most people do. You know, they're like, I have this goal, I have to work for it. Do I have what it takes to accomplish it? I don't know, but I'm going to give my very best effort to try, and like I'm going to step up and I'm going to get it done. That's kind of the attitude that those lyrics have, and it gets me hyped. Yeah, I love that. I love, because it's about no matter how many times you get kicked down or kicked around, how bad it sucks, you're just like, I don't care. I'm going to move forward and I'm going to get what I deserve. I'm going to get what I work for, and that's what the chase is about.
tried and denied, here we are again. Back at the start, it's about the chase. Can you keep up real life's true desire? And set free, you think you've got exactly what it takes. Put yourself to the test, there's no going back. Wanna live the dream, step up to the plate, to an only God. This one single shot where you go the distance. Hell yeah, let's take it to the top. Do you have the will? Cause I'll be damned if I don't give everything. Cause I know one thing, this vision will be revealed. Till then, I'll try to find some clarity. Do you feel it now? Pumping through your veins, the adrenaline that makes you feel alive, a passion. Burning red hot like the fuse and watch it burn. Hotter than the sun, the time is now to awaken the champion that lies inside. No more excuses, we only want results. Turn this fantasy into reality. We go the distance. Hell yeah, let's take it to the top. Do you have the will? Cause I'll be damned if I don't give everything. Cause I know one day
very cool.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I think the music portrays that attitude very well too with those lyrics. I think the music and the words match.
It's fast and furious.
It's loud and it's angry and it is not gonna be held back by anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean just like a lot of our songs, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you can get involved with our Menta on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, please.
You can
do.
Catch these guys. I'm sure we'll have some live show dates being announced shortly. But again, keep an eye out January 19th for that music video. And then, of course, you can pick up this debut EP all over your major platforms on February 2nd. You guys are. Working on a official release party.
Yes.
Details to be happening. So
it's gonna be lit.
The official release party. We are going to have one. Yeah. It will be mid to late February, for sure. The venue is to be determined. I have been talking to three venues, and it will basically depend on who can give me the date that work. I don't want to have my EP release on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
no.
I don't want to do that.
Absolutely
not.
Friday night, Saturday night.
And like I said earlier, I don't want to sell a $10 ticket and give a promoter $8 on my EP release party either.
Right.
I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah.
But what will be nice is for our EP release party. And you know what? I'll say it. Our EP release party should be about the work that we put into the EP. It should be about the band. It should not be about the venue or the the event of a battle or whatever. It should be about our EP and the work that we put in. And the way I want to do it and the way Armenta wants to do it is we want everybody to just be able to come out for free, not have to pay for a ticket, not have to do a $10 door charge. Sure. Just everybody come out, have a few drinks, have a good time, watch us play, buy a t-shirt. We have t-shirts. Buy the EP because we worked hard on it, and that's what the EP release is about, so people can get the EP. And stickers and buttons will be there as well if that's your fancy. So that's the way that we're gonna do it. And when I have a date, be sure to check on our Facebook, Instagram, and our Bandcamp pages for an announcement.
Very cool. Well, we've talked a lot about the CP, but we really haven't talked much about you guys as a group, you know. So let's tell me some backstory stuff. So how do you three even get here?
So let me think. About 2.5 years ago, I moved back from Columbia, Missouri. Went to Mizzou for college. When I got a job back here, I met a friend of mine named Corey Chilson. Well, hey. Corey told me about John. Said he was a rock and roller. So I hit up John, and we hung out for the first time April of 2016. And then I ran into him again in August of that year.
We hung out one time. I had an old band that practiced at a storage unit, and that band had just dismembered, and then Ryan hit me up, so he came to my storage unit, and we jammed one time, and I thought, I'm not even lying, I thought I was like, oh yeah, there's no way that kid's actually going to be in a band with me. Like, he's not really a band. that was my first thought. And then August rolls around, and we were playing in a band called Spots. I was playing bass in this band, and we hadn't played any shows or anything, and then the singer of that band was like, yeah, man, like, I know this other kid that plays bass. We should have him play bass. And I was like, and you could play guitar. So I was obviously about that because I'm more of a guitar player. And in walks Ryan, and I'm like, I know this kid. I know this guy. And we did that band for a while, and I was like, we did that band for a few months, and you know, and it was really funny. Is like, of the members of that band, I was like, you know, the only member in this band who's really about it, who's really about being in a band, was Ryan. And I was like, man, was I wrong the first time I had that thought. So, funny. And it was really funny because, like he said, our friend Corey, told us about each other, and he kept telling me for weeks and weeks, you gotta meet Ryan, you gotta meet Ryan. And now we're here.
One day I just got tired of waiting, so I just ate him up.
Yeah.
And hey, I don't know if any of you listeners like locally brewed beer, but our friend Corey, who set up the band Armenta,
makes a good beer.
He makes great beer. All right, he's got his own brewing company called Chilson Brewing, and you can find it at the Friendship Brewery in Wentzville.
Really?
Yeah, you can.
Right.
Yeah, he is on tap, and it's amazing. It's a great beer he's got. You know, I think the beer he's got there was a coffee stout, but
the official beer of Armenta.
And you can also hit him up if you just want him to make you a cake. He'll make one for you, and he'll do it at a fair price too, I'm sure.
That's awesome.
So how you guys meet Tyler?
I actually, it's funny, I know John, we went to high school together, and we played in our high school jazz band my sophomore year, and John played the bass, and I played drums, and it's actually really funny because I had, like, kind of a similar reaction. Like, I remember John had texted me a while back, and like, I think he came over to my house one day, and we kind of played, and it was the same way. I was like, there's no way I'd actually be in a band with this kid. And then it was hilarious. That was like 2009 or 10. We were like freshmen. And And then I kind of bounced around in a bunch of different bands, and I was with, up until just a few, not too long ago, I was in a different band, The Struggle, with my buddy Gordon. And, he texted me one day, and he was like, hey, you know, my band's looking for a drummer, and he was like, here's some recordings, and I kind of just, like, let it sit in my inbox for a couple days, and I was like, oh, yeah, and then one day I was bored, and I listened to him, and I was like, this is actually pretty kick-ass, so I hit him up, and went down to Lemp, and we jammed, and I was like, holy crap, I'm like, he got really good over the years, so, yeah, it's been a blast.
Well, thank you.
It's been fun. I've been, super happy to be here, and we got a lot of good stuff going.
So. We used to get in trouble in high school. Because I would play Foo Fighters. I would like pick up the guitar and play Foo Fighters, or I'd play it on bass. And I'd like to do on bass. I'd like to do the song "My Hero" because before the guitar comes in, it starts off with drums, and then it goes to like the bass line, like do 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 do. And then Tyler like went home and learned it, and we would for warm up. He would go into "My Hero" by Foo Fighters and jazz band, and then I'd go into we got in trouble. And
for this is our jazz band rehearsal.
Yeah,
our teacher would get so mad at us. He'd be like, "Does that sound like jazz to you guys?"
It doesn't sound like Sonny Rollins.
We'd be like, "It doesn't sound like not jazz.
It's jazz influence.
It's jazz influence.
Rock and roll comes from blues. And blues comes from jazz."
And he'd just shake his head.
So on my last day of high school, I bought him I bought our band director, Mr. Griffin, a Foo Fighters t-shirt, and he actually wore it to school.
Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, you know what, I mean, I can attribute a lot of, you know, our musical talents and abilities to all of our teachers over the years.
Oh, for sure.
Mr. Griffin, if you're listening, for sure.
Absolutely.
Great teacher, and a lot of great things going on, you know, just in our public schools, great music programs, and great teachers out there in St. Louis. So
I will say that for me, I wasn't as into playing guitar or even playing music in high school until I was influenced by Mr. Griffin, really. Because when I couldn't, you know, when I was in jazz band for all 3 years, and that was an hour and a half a day, or instead of going to math or science, I got to pick up a guitar or a bass and play, mm-hmm. and that was really, really good for me. So when I stopped, you know, when I graduated high school and I didn't have that hour and a half a day of just being able to play mm-hmm. and being around other musicians and having somebody consistently work with me like Mr. Griffin did to help me get better,
mm-hmm.
I had to take it upon myself to play an hour and a half a day after that. I had to get better. It became a passion. He really created a monster. He made me way more passionate and way more into music than I ever would have been had I not been in his class. So, Mr. Griffin, if you're listening, shout out to you.
Here's to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but again, going back to Espolon, our buddy David Aubuchon, he's a fantastic Barry Sax player. We've got some cool stuff lined up for that song, and our other songs too. You know,
played in jazz band. With
yeah, I would. Yeah, I hear a lot of our songs, and you know, I definitely want to expand on the instrumentation, and of course, I want to expand on a lot of the percussion aspects too. So there's a lot of stuff. We just need to actually win the lottery and have infinite money, and
yeah.
then we can produce the most kick-ass album in the world. That's the plan.
Yeah,
but so a lot of good stuff happening. I'm excited
for sure. Yeah, well, that's awesome to hear that. That you guys still think about him and like get your teacher and stuff, and then you can. How much influence those early teachers have on you as a mm-hmm. student and stuff to want to get out and play more and stuff. So
yeah,
but yeah, that's awesome, man.
Music education is very, very underrated, and it is important, and it needs to be in every high school.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion.
Yeah,
music programs are typically like some of the first programs to get cut when cuts happen, yeah, and I think that's wrong.
Right,
I think home ec probably needs to go.
Who needs to cook? We have
food.
J-Box has literally given us food for practically free. Come on.
And it's vegetarian.
It's vegetarian.
It's the meat at Jack in the Box tacos.
It's bean paste. Yeah.
It is soybean. It is not actual meat. I hate to ruin it for you, but good news, if you're vegan or vegetarian and you want something unhealthy, something deep fried, well, there you go. J Box tacos. Cheap and vegetarian.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
Well, again, get involved on Menta all over social media. And soon to be all over your digital platforms for Absolutely. Wherever you're buying your music. And of course we'll be able to pick up a physical copy, as well at the EP release party coming soon.
Definitely. Definitely.
So a lot of big things in the works. Get involved, and come party with us. So,
yeah, hey, yeah.
Come have a shot at Espelon with us.
There you go.
We would greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think if this doesn't get us some sponsorship, I don't know what will.
Yeah, exactly.
For real.
No kidding. Hey, you know what? Maybe that's what we need. We need an advertisement, a commercial deal from Espelon Tequila to kickstart our music project.
Nice. Yeah. Hey, whatever.
There's our avenue right there. I found our lottery.
Hey.
Yeah.
Never know.
Yep.
It could happen.
All right. Well, thank you guys for taking some time out to share all this with me and. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Shane.
I'll see you guys.
Always a pleasure.
I'll see you soon.
For sure.
Bye.
All right.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.